You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Donald Trump, ex-president Donald Trump, faces his second impeachment trial today in the Senate. First up, a vote on a motion to dismiss, arguing that former presidents can't be impeached. Meanwhile, new study shows that Pfizer's mRNA vaccine works against COVID variants. That's good news. Meanwhile, the House Democrats released their COVID relief bill. Those $1,400 checks stay at the previous income thresholds. $15 minimum wage is included in that same House bill. The CBO, Congressional Budget Office, scores it as adding to the deficit, which could help it pass in the Senate. Dems also push an Obamacare expansion, drop a work requirement for child tax credits. And down in Florida, a hacker nearly poisoned an entire city's water supply. ICE goes rogue, deports babies and children, among others, to Haiti against the Biden administration's directive. Meanwhile, civil liberty groups call on the new administration to drop extradition case against Julian Assange. The deadline looms. It's Friday. And Austin, Texas buys a second hotel to home the unhoused. And lastly, voting underway in Alabama's Amazon workers' bid to unionize. All this and more on today's program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Also joining me, as she does every day, although she's about to go on vacation in a couple of days, is Emma Vigeland. Hello, Emma.
Hello, Sam. Very, very short vacation. Very short vacation.
Very brief.
Yeah,
yes.
Just very brief.
Yes. And the rest of us, well, not the rest of us, we're dividing and conquering, I guess.
Split squad. Yeah.
Split squad and tag team. And so the rest of us are going to go on vacation. By the rest of us, I mean two of us going on vacation this week. Folks can figure it out. The bottom line is like, we are very close to achieving the 24/7 vision of this show, which is that we are on constantly. It's we're just passing the baton.
Right.
There's never a moment where
right.
we're not.
So
on
you
the ball.
Sleep, you're off for 12 hours, I'm on for 12 hours, and then we never see each other again.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's
in my contract.
That's the plan.
That after, you know, 6 months, I don't ever have to see you again.
That's actually a stipulation that a lot of people make
right,
in their contracts.
Right.
However, that said, you can contractually get into an agreement to never have to see me again. Apparently, we can get into no such agreement with Donald Trump, the former president of the United States. He will be, I guess we won't have to see him today. And I imagine he probably will not show his face. He was probably ensconced in a bunker down in Mar-a-Lago.
Although he was called upon to testify, which he declined because he would have been under oath. And that would have been a show, though.
I have to say, I was a little bit surprised, because I would have thought that, like, you know, because he doesn't have Twitter, doesn't have the ability to sort of like to put himself out there, as it were, that he would show up. But no such luck. However, we know that Donald Trump is in great spirits. He's not in any way upset about being impeached again. Not at all. And how do we know this? Because of the very trustworthy Corey Lewandowski, who is going to tell us that on the Newsmax program with Greg Kelly. Okay.
I'm doing well, thank you. You know, without divulging too much information, just before I came on, I was just speaking with the former president from Mar-a-Lago, and, you know, he said, one, to wish you the best and thank you for all the hard work that you're doing here on this network.
I appreciate it very much to hear that from you, Corey. Not to drop names, but I saw him face to face yesterday at the golf course, and he said much the same thing. But I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah, he's, by the way, did you notice, as I did, his spirits? He's very, very upbeat. He's, he's raring to go, I think. Your assessment?
Well, the media will never tell you that. They'll say it's all doom and gloom and that he's miserable and he's hunkered down, but that's just not the truth. You know,
I just want to point out that the media literally just told us that. Newsmax, I mean, I presume they consider themselves media, right? They're media.
Yeah, that or a propaganda arm.
But, I mean, it's still media. It's not journalism necessarily,
yes,
but it is media. And they literally just told us that he was upbeat.
Maybe
make sure they know I'm happy and loving life.
I'm loving it.
But I'm recovering from the breakup well.
My personal favorite part of that is how Lewandowski, he said that he saw Trump and Greg Kelly has to go, well, actually, I hang out with Trump, too. He was in good spirits when I saw him, too, and repeated it twice.
That's also a tough question.
I'm in the clique.
I saw him yesterday, and he was really upbeat. What's your take on that? All right, but let's go back and watch this.
He's raring to go, I think. Your assessment.
Raring to go where?
Well, the media will never tell you that. They'll say it's all doom and gloom and that he's miserable and he's hunkered down, but that's just not the truth. You know, I have the privilege to talk to him a lot. He's very excited. He knows that this scam that's going on, the sham of an impeachment, is only going to hurt the Democrats because, you know, at first he was impeached over a perfect phone call, and now the second time he's been impeached over a perfect, you know, speech at a rally, a political rally, something that I thought we had free speech in this country, a protection of the First Amendment. The media doesn't want to say that. They have done everything they can since he came down that golden escalator to try and destroy him, but he has fought back every day, and most of the media hate that.
A perfect speech.
Perfect. I mean, it achieved, I think, exactly what he wanted it to, if that's what the argument is. Perfect speech.
And you know how Lewandowski countered again with the, I spoke to him, I speak to him a lot?
Yeah, they were like in competition. Who's Donald Trump's best friend?
Yeah, who's closer to Regina George? Is it, you know, Karen or Gretchen Wieners? It's a Mean Girls reference, but
well, I didn't pick up on that. But
and they're more than
I take your word for it.
The psychotic men. That's the sequel.
I mean, the fascinating thing is that they both know that Trump is watching. And they both are trying to impress him. And it really is like there's an audience of one. And like, I'm curious, like, what is Trump raring to go to or for? Or what is he? What does that
mean? I'm raring to not testify.
I'm raring to just not be impeached again.
I'm raring to sit in the golf cart as it drives me from hole to hole.
I'm going to make it all the way to the 12th hole today.
To the clubhouse bathroom, raring to go.
I wasn't going to do this, but let's play that other clip of that guy. What is that guy's name from World Net Daily? Is it Greg Kelly?
Greg Kelly.
Yeah, Greg Kelly. When he is not trying to convince Corey Lewandowski that he also has a personal relationship with Donald Trump. And talking and basically, you know, I guess Greg Kelly now realizes that with Lou Dobbs gone, there's like open field essentially for simping for Donald Trump.
Good.
But before he does that with Donald Trump, He's got to do it with mini Trump in Congress, who has also gone through not quite her own impeachment, but her own, I guess, she's been decommittified, as it were. Here is Greg Kelly, and he is practicing some journalism. He apparently has caught Marjorie Taylor Greene in a lie.
It's actually to step up and boldly declare your faith, share the gospel, and then truly live it and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
You know, I'm sorry. I have to fact check you. I caught you in a doozy. You said a little while ago that you're just a regular person. And I just don't think that's the case. You're absolutely extraordinary and very impressive to watch you, what you're doing. And I wish you luck and I wish you safety. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, many thanks.
Thank you, Greg.
There you go. That was
super uncomfortable.
I think it's very sweet. Valentine's Day is coming up, and that was he was both practicing journalism and providing a compliment.
A compliment. I mean, either to get her back on the program or get her to go to dinner with him. Yeah. I wasn't aware.
You know,
a normal Christian nationalist who inherited a construction company.
Yes, who's just an average person? I don't think so. I think you're something a little bit better than that.
I think she's got superpowers. Maybe that's right. She's some sort of, you know, she's going to be in the end like Supergirl in that outfit, but instead of the S, it's just a big Q.
There you go.
On her, emblazoned on her outfit.
You know, it's Greg Kelly's just calling him like he sees him.
Greg he and reports. Marjorie. Greg and Marjorie together, it's...
He reports.
Marjorie.
You decide. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about what is in the Democrats have now released their bill in the House, and the Congressional Budget Office has released its so-called score on what a $15 minimum wage will mean for the federal government. And the $15 minimum wage didn't get the greatest score from them. There's reasons for that. But it may be a score that actually keeps $15 minimum wage in the game. We'll be back on more of my metaphors after this. I thought that was a pretty good metaphor. Folks, today's show sponsored by Grove.co, not grove.com, grove.co. What is grove.co? It is a essentially like a marketplace. I use an app for it. You go on there and it gives you the widest array of natural cleaning products that A, you could find anywhere, or B, that you could imagine. Folks love, I mean, I don't know. I imagine a lot of people are like to use natural cleaning products. I certainly do. I got into the habit with the kids, and I also, you know, with the kitties, the cats, as much as they're the bane of my existence on some level, I want to keep them healthy.
Yeah, and some of those non-natural cleaning products are toxic.
They're toxic. And, yeah. I don't find that they work any better, frankly. And of course, there's other considerations. In my case, smells. I think I've told people my two favorite products that I get from Grove. Although I got during the whole mad rush, that was my secret for getting toilet paper, was at Grove, and it's all natural, you know, toilet paper that they. I don't know if they recycle, but it's like bamboo and stuff like that. But they have all sorts of products like that. For me, this is where I get my seventh generation hand soap, dishwashing soap, all fragrant-free, because that's my thing. But I also get Mrs. Meyers, and I found like their mint all-purpose cleaner. Not only does it do a great job cleaning, but the smell doesn't bother me.
Nice. That's a rarity.
It is a huge rarity.
Yeah.
You can browse the site. They got thousands of home, beauty, and personal care products. They're all guaranteed to be good for you, your family, your home, the planet. You don't have to shop multiple different places. It's super easy. I go in. They give you a record of your last order. I mean, it's bing, bang, boom. It's very, very quick. Plus, shipping is fast and free on your first order. I think everybody knows why it's important to use eco-friendly products, particularly, you know, these days. But you can check it out. They also have those recycled trash bags. They've got, you know, compostable bags, all of it. Making the switch to natural products has never been easier. For a limited time, when my listeners go to grove.co/majority, you will get to choose a free gift with your first order of $30 or more. But you have to use our special code. Go to grove.co/majority to get your exclusive offer. That's grove.co/majority. Meanwhile, everybody's online these days. You want to protect yourself. You know, one of the biggest things that is out there that gets completely underreported is just the massive amounts of fraud and theft of your info that takes place online, other places as well. But in addition, of course, I think people know that many internet service providers, the ISPs, they log your internet activity. They sell that data to other big tech companies or advertisers. You can protect all of your devices by using ExpressVPN like I do. I got it on my phone. I got it on my iPad. Got it on my computers. Every site you visit, every video you watch, every message you send is tracked by your ISP. They take this information that they get there, and I don't know, you know, like I don't know if it's actually like content based or meta based, but it's all of it. ExpressVPN is a simple app. It encrypts all of your network data. It tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP cannot see any of your activity. I know that sounds complicated, but it's actually super easy to use. You just download the app, you tap one button on your device, boom, you're protected. ExpressVPN is the best way to hide your online activity from your ISP, and ExpressVPN does all of this without slowing your connection. That's why it's rated the number one VPN service by CNET and Wired. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. You can protect yourself with the VPN that I trust to keep me private online. ExpressVPN.com/majority. That's Express, ExpressVPN.com/majority. You get 3 extra months free. Go to ExpressVPN.com/majority right now to learn more. All right, and lastly, I think folks know that I am also, in addition to like natural cleaning products, I don't like to put very much on my body in any way whatsoever. Obviously clothes I wear, but like I don't use, like I don't like to use like creams or any of that stuff. And for a long time, I did not wear deodorant because I was worried about all the crap that's in there, like heavy metals and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I don't like any of that stuff. But then, you know, I find myself as a single guy and I think like, well, maybe I should be careful about that. Well, Native. It's an antiperspirant. They have deodorant as well that you don't have to worry about because it has ingredients that you've heard of, like coconut oil and shea butter. It doesn't have aluminum. It doesn't have the parabens or whatever those are. Has none of that junk. They have 10 cents. They have classic ones and then rotating seasonal ones. You're guaranteed to find one you love. For me, I like the scent that is called un, as in unscented. But that's just me. They have, I actually, I've tried the coconut, and I don't mind the coconut. You know, like if it's non, like, fragrancy, I'm okay. But they have a bunch of different scents, ones that you'll love. They have the classic scents like coconut and vanilla. Those I can do. Lavender and rose, I cannot do. I don't know why I'm telling people this, but right. Cucumber and mint, I also can do. The citrus and herbal musk, cannot do.
Too much musk?
I just can't do anything that is like based upon like flowers or anything like that. But the point is...
But I like lavender, so I think I'd like those things.
Yeah, but just be careful.
But then not around you.
But like
geez.
I say, they have unscented option. They also have a sensitive collection that's made without baking soda if you're sensitive. So if one of your New Year's resolutions is to cut down on your plastic consumption, Native now offers a line of plastic-free deodorants in their most popular scents as well. There's a reason why Native has over 16,000 five-star reviews. And the reason is because it works. You get free shipping on every order, plus a 30-day free return and exchange within the United States. You can switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/majority report, or use my promo code majority report at checkout. You get 20% off your first order. That's nativedeo.com/majority report. Use the promo code majority report at checkout for 20% off your first order. All right, let's get back into what we got going here. Impeachment will happen today. It's going to be starting momentarily. There's going to be 4 hours of debate and going back and forth, ultimately culminating in a vote as to whether the Senate finds it constitutional to impeach a president who has left office. There's every reason to believe that this vote is going to be somewhere between 50 and 51 and 55, that a president can be impeached after office. There was a motion that Rand Paul brought up, I guess it was a week or so ago.
A week or two ago, yeah.
And it was attempting to basically argue that we should summarily dismiss the case on these grounds. Wasn't obviously during impeachment. And that lost 55 to 45. So that might be both a highlight of who is possibly interested in voting to impeach Trump, but also who is interested in voting to allow him to be tried in the Senate.
And those numbers could be different, right? They could vote for the constitutionality, I guess, of the process of impeaching a president who's no longer in office, and then once it comes down to it, not vote to impeach.
Without a doubt, right. Yeah. They may find that the case is not strong enough that he, in fact, I don't know how you could argue at this point that he wasn't there encouraging people to do this. I mean, just by the absence of, I mean, just contemplate for a moment. Think of the worst possible president you could. Put Trump aside. What would they do if they saw people who they just were at a rally with barging into the Capitol and they are addicted to Twitter? Like, I mean, I just imagine, like, the effort involved in Donald Trump not tweeting, like, hey guys, calm down. That's not what I meant. Or, hey guys, calm down. Don't do that. It's quite obvious he was not looking to discourage that from happening. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why was that? Because he had an agenda.
No, I mean, and he was repeating over and over at the rally before they marched on the Capitol. You have to fight. You have to fight. You have
gotta
to
be rough.
Fight. Yeah.
Not like normal times. You got to be rough and tough, tougher than before.
But yeah, I mean, these Republicans who are going to vote not to convict him, and he won't get convicted. It's a 67 vote threshold. It's
right.
Not going to happen. But the Republicans that do, they're going to probably do so on some First Amendment grounds about how he was just exercising his free speech and his questioning of the voting process. And there was no way for him to know that this would happen. I wonder how many of them are in favor of prosecuting people for flag burning, or who oppose the BDS movement, things like that. I mean, there's just like so much hypocrisy surrounding the usage of free speech, especially on the right.
And just to be clear on that BDS thing, this is boycott, divest, and sanction. This is a movement that is aimed at getting Israel to allow to get out of the occupied territories. And and in this country, for some reason, we have states, and there was an attempt to do this on the federal level, that literally, if you're going to do business with the state, for instance, if you are a teacher and you are hired to go in, and this was a case out of Texas, I believe it was.
Yeah.
If you're hired to go in and give speech therapy for kids who need help with their speech, you need to sign a document that says you will not participate in any type of boycott or divestiture or protest against Israel over their policy of occupying this territory. Now, look, I understand there's different opinions about the occupation. I happen to think that it's an occupation and it's problematic and that I support BDS. But even if you didn't support BDS, how do you rationalize having a state government or a federal government punish you in some way or prohibit you from working with them based upon your protest actions? Like, we don't see that in any other arena. It's absolutely absurd.
Bahia Amawi was the name of the woman in Texas who was a teacher who was contracted out, and she'd worked in the same school district for 9 years, and then the new contract came to her in September of 2018, said, you have to sign this, but you can't support BDS. And she goes, well, I am of Palestinian descent, and I agree with BDS. And then, she's not allowed to work with kids anymore, apparently, in Texas. It's absolutely
insane. It's absurd.
Insane.
And like I say, you don't have to be Palestinian or even supportive of BDS to think that that is absolutely ridiculous. And
yet Republicans, just to bring it back to impeachment, support those kinds of actions overwhelmingly based on associations with evangelical groups, right-wing is pro-Israel groups. We're going to hear a ton of First Amendment arguments in the coming days from the right. Just remember these cases when that happens.
Let's look at a couple of tweets that Donald Trump sent out on the 6th. This is the day that Donald Trump rally goers stormed the Capitol and leading to the death of five people, serious injuries to many other officers, two suicides that are, it's hard to necessarily attribute to that thing, but it followed in the wake of that. Here is Donald Trump. Here is one of them. This is unbelievable. Do we know a time that he did this? There are things and events that happen when a sacred landslide, election victory. I really think that you could probably write an entire thesis on why he uses the word sacred right there. A sacred landslide election. Remember, a lot of those people, when they came into the Senate chambers, they consecrated it with a prayer.
And a cross erected outside could have been to crucify lawmakers, but also just a good indication of the religious nature of a lot of these Q people.
These are the things and events that happen when a sacred landslide election victory is so unceremoniously and viciously stripped away from great patriots who have been badly and unfairly treated for so long. Go home with love and in peace. Remember this day forever. This is, he is referring to what took place in the Capitol.
This is after, and this is, I think, right before as it happened, this one.
And right before it happens, this is at 2:24 p.m. This is as people were starting to, attack the Capitol. Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones which they were asked previously certify. USA demands the truth.
As the mob in the Capitol screams, hang Mike Pence.
I mean, I guess it'll be interesting to see how Lindsey Graham justifies this. But maybe Donald Trump has his new cell phone number and he doesn't want it to go out again. But that will be up first, the constitutionality. So we will not, it'll be tomorrow and then the following days where we will see the House managers will bring up this stuff and make their case. I don't think they're going to be allowed to, frankly, call witnesses. There's been some reports that the House managers feel like leadership has rushed this through. There is obviously reasons why both the Republicans and the Democrats want to rush it through. The Democrats want to get on with the COVID relief stuff, though it's not inconceivable they could do both simultaneously. The Republicans want to get on with it because they know this ties them to Donald Trump. And despite the fact that you're going to hear in other quarters, you're going to see never Trumper Republicans going on cable news, making the argument that somehow Trump is separate from the Republican Party. Watch the votes in the Senate. Tell us that Donald Trump is separate from the Republican Party. Watch the votes in the House that you had to decertify the election. Tell us that Donald Trump is different from Republicans. Look at the polls. Donald Trump has massive support from Republicans. The Republican Party birthed Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not come from a spaceship. He was not parachuting in. Go back and look at who Mitt Romney, whose ring he had to kiss to become the Republican nominee, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the natural, I want to say endgame, but I'm afraid that he won't be, of the Republican Party. He is a natural progression of the Republican Party.
He's the Frankenstein.
In many respects, but really, the Frankenstein is the entire Republican electorate. He is like the projection of, he is what they are projecting out on. And that he is just like a vessel for them.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with you mostly, but I think a lot of this has been driven by him, too. I mean, it's hard to discount the force of his personality and charisma and ability to shape the narrative. We wouldn't have gotten birtherism in the way that we got it if it weren't for him pushing it over and over again.
That may be the case, but maybe there would have been someone else. I mean, look, John Boehner refused to even criticize the 10 members of his caucus that brought up a birther bill in the House.
But who brought that to the fore? It was Trump.
There was a lot of people.
Hillary a little bit, too.
McCain's running mate, John McCain's running mate, Sarah Palin, was pretty strong on that. I mean, this was something that came out of Republican fever swamps. And I will say this. 5 years ago, the day he came down that golden escalator, I remember where I was. I went over to MSNBC. And everybody looked at me like I was a lunatic in the green room, in the makeup room. Everybody I would see, I would say, like, this guy is going to win the primary. And because the Republican Party basically had been constructing a suit, and it just so happened that Donald Trump showed up and he fit into it. And that was basically, I mean,
and I'm not trying to discount the complete insanity of the Republican base that was created and why they responded to Palin in that way. I'm just trying to say that it accelerated in a way based on the force of him and his shamelessness and his personality.
Without a
and
doubt.
His ego, which is fundamental to understanding the devotion to him as well, because it is literally like a cult of personality, and you have to factor that in.
Without a doubt. I mean, he certainly accelerated it, but anybody who's going to win that Republican primary is and become president is also going to accelerate it. And because they're looking for a specific type of person. And if that person wins, that validates everything that they've been looking for. And that just carries through. So, I mean, it may not be Donald Trump next time. It may be somebody else. But, we will see.
Very smart of the Clinton campaign to discount him and hope he got the Republican nomination, just based on your commentary back,
I mean, I was surprised that he won the general election, but I do think that they approached the race in about five different ways incorrectly, maybe a dozen, but... That is water under the bridge, as it were. All right. Quickly, just wanted to mention this, that there was a study published in Nature Medicine, which showed Pfizer's mRNA vaccine, which, of course, was the first vaccine approved in the United States for use against COVID-19, apparently neutralized three variants of the COVID-19 virus. That is the B.1.17 strain that was first identified in the UK. We spoke about this yesterday with Mark Elaine Derry, the epidemiologist from Louisiana. And two new variants that are confirmed in South Africa, which are the more scary ones. The B.1.17, it's also scary insofar as that it's been predicted that it will be the dominant strain in this country by the end of March, and it's far more transmittable, 40 to 65% more transmittable than what they call the wild one that we have currently in this country that is dominant. The South African ones are also more transmittable, but they can infect younger people. They can also cause more serious health effects. So they tested a bunch of mutations in the United Kingdom and in South Africa, and they found that the Pfizer vaccine neutralizes these variants, which is good news. And one would suspect, although there is no, obviously there's no data on this at this point, that the Moderna one might also, because it is a similar technology in terms of mRNA. So we will keep our eyes out at that. The South Africans found that the AstraZeneca vaccine did not address their specific strain that is dominant in South Africa at the moment, and so they're not inoculating people with that because they don't want people going around thinking they're vaccinated and they're not protected against a dominant strain a very prevalent strain. But with that said, let's move on to the COVID relief bill, which is in part to mitigate the spread of COVID and in part to help people dealing with the economic effects of the pandemic. And they're not mutually exclusive. The more support that people have economically, financially, the less they're going to feel compelled to maybe go in and work in certain circumstances so they don't put themselves and others at risk in situations. Now, hopefully there's more, some of the executive actions that Joe Biden has taken so far will protect people who believe that they would be at risk when they go into work and will keep them eligible for unemployment benefits. But let's go through what this House Democrat plan that was released outlines. The big thing, of course, the top line is the $1,400 checks. A lot of people think those should be $2,000 checks as a policy and a political matter, like John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock.
Like Joe Biden said pretty explicitly when campaigning for them, it's just automatically, it's even if you're thinking from a Democratic self-preservation standpoint, it's a bad look right off the bat. But that's not happening.
It seems that we're locked in at $1,400 per person, particularly with the House Democrats bill that came out. However, there was some talk about lowering the income thresholds as to who would be eligible for this. And there was sufficient pushback to this idea that apparently the House Democrats have basically not only retained what the income thresholds were before for the $1,200 and the $600 checks.
At $75,000 a year.
$75,000 and it starts
and
to fade out.
Until $100,000 yep. a year in income.
But the other thing that they did is this time around, children and adult dependents are going to be eligible for the full $1,400. So if you're a family that has children, you're going to get more money than not just because the check is larger, obviously $1,400 larger than $1,200, but because it's going to cover all of your children. And if you have a dependent who's an adult and a lot of people there, we're talking millions of people in that situation. They're also going to get a $1,400 check. And
I just want to say, too, on this checkpoint, this a lot of credit deserves Pramila Jayapal, who's leading the Progressive Caucus, deserves a ton of credit because she basically said she was in nonstop conversations with the Biden administration or the Biden team pushing that. Just to appease one senator, it seems like Manchin is the one who is the most adamant about lowering this threshold to $50,000, which is ridiculous. House Democrats and progressive leaders like her are really trying to prevent that from happening.
And we should say there was a report on Twitter from a reporter. We'll talk about this in a moment, that Manchin seemed to be okay with it. And we can talk a little bit about that. But here is Pramila Jayapal. She was on Rachel Maddow's program on last night, Monday, talking about the importance of keeping the income thresholds. And also, we should also add that this your income thresholds can be pegged to either 2019 or 2020, as you made clear the other day, if you get your taxes in early so that the IRS has, can measure it. Now,
I think it starts February 12th. If you have, just to the audience, right, if you lost your job in 2020, file your taxes as soon as possible, because then you would be eligible.
And if your 2020 income would make you eligible, you can get supplemental payments after you file. So it's just a question of how badly you need it now. Here is Pramila Jayapal on Rachel Maddow's program last night.
But we now control, Democrats now control the House, the Senate, and the White House. And I grant you that it's a thin majority in both chambers. But the reality, Rachel, is we've got to do what we promised. We've got to get these $2,000 checks, $1,400 in addition to the $600, out to people. We should not be cutting thresholds to $50,000 and $100,000. That makes no political sense. You outlined that. But it also makes no policy sense, because we are looking at 2019 numbers to determine this eligibility. Everybody understands that tens of millions of people lost their jobs or had reduced income in 2020. So if you look at an income threshold from 2019, it is not relevant to what we're trying to do. And this idea of targeting, I just call it restricting for no good reason. Because if you really wanted to target, then you would need to look at the most recent data on income, which is not what we're using in this bill. So let's just get these checks out to everybody. And we did score a victory after a lot of pushing that the Progressive Caucus did over the weekend. We were able to secure at least the initial victory of keeping these thresholds the same. But we just have to be really clear. There are a lot of people who are hurting across this country. And reducing thresholds and talking about some fake targeting is not going to get relief to people, on top of not being what we campaigned on. So that's the first thing.
Appealing to Democrats' sense of electoral self-preservation is the best way to go about it. I mean, the fact that just talking to someone like Biden and Democrats like that, because the idea that to appease Joe Manchin, who just wants it for a political branding purpose to lower the income threshold to $50,000, to do that at the expense of sending checks when promised by Joe Biden to 40 million fewer people than Trump. You think that's going to bite them in 2022 and 2024? Why? So luckily, Maddow, I mean, the fact that she's having Pramila Jayapal on her program is great, because a lot of Democrats, mainstream Democrats in Washington, you know, pay attention to that show. And so hopefully this is, you know, swinging the pendulum.
It's interesting. Adam Gentleson, who we had on a couple of weeks ago, who's written a book about the Senate, was tweeting about Joe Manchin's response. And apparently Manchin seemed okay with this. And it is, people explain the Joe Manchin cycle as, you know, come out knee-jerk against the Democratic Party. And then ultimately, once he has established that into the consciousness of his, I mean, you know, who knows, these guys are projecting or whatnot, into his constituents' minds, there it is. Now, Gentleson has an interesting point about Manchin. And he uses, you will appreciate this, sabermetrics as a way of assessing how good, I guess, for lack of a better term, how helpful specific Democrats are And now Sabermetrics, you want to explain, Emma, since you're the resident...
Well, Sabermetrics, yes. Right? Sabermetrics is like the statistical usage of having to measure efficiency of players in baseball.
Right.
That was popularized by Billy Beane in the Oakland A's.
There you go. And so he has a metric called WAR, wins above replacement. This is a...
Also a baseball.
A sabermetrics term. And it is, in Senate terms, he says you'd calculate it based on votes cast versus the partisan lean of the state. Now, of course, West Virginia is a deep red territory. He cites also John Tester. Deep red states, but casting a lot of votes for Democrats. They have the highest WAR, as it were, that is wins above replacement. Someone like Dianne Feinstein, however, who comes from an extremely blue state, she has almost the lowest WAR score, as it were. Now, there is no official, although apparently he's casting about for someone to actually put out this metric.
Pretty awesome.
But here is Manchin, according to the Hill periodical, I guess, or website now, pool report. We're just trying to make sure that people are truly in need. Okay, so if they can show that 75,000, 150,000 are truly in need, it's basically they have adjusted gross income. That's how people get up to 250 and 300. They want to solve that and put a hard stop. I mean, he's basically just saying like, okay, he's just coming down off it. And that's, you know, look, at the end of the day, if that's what Joe Manchin has to do, and he has to have some performative type of thing, so that he can maintain his brand and his state. I'm happy with that, as long as at the end of the day, that number is in there. Now, I think it's a huge mistake, and it's seemingly completely not worth it. I mean, we've seen experts analyze this, the difference between $2,000 and $1,400 in terms of these checks. As a political matter, we're only talking about the calculation was somewhere around $45 billion, because I guess apparently, you know, some of it will be clawed back through taxes, et cetera, et cetera. And you'll be savings on the other end because people will not need to. We know that the checks in the first time diminished the number of people living in extreme poverty in this country for like 3 or 4 or 5 months significantly.
Yeah.
And so $2,000, that $600 means a lot to people. It's not a huge sum of money. And as a political matter, you know, you can say that like, well, the $600 wasn't there when he made the promise and blah, blah, blah. But that's just that level of like when you have to explain it. As they say in comedy, if you have to explain the joke, it's not funny. If you have to explain the policy on $2,000 checks by showing the algorithm in which you've arrived to that, it's probably not as politically effective as it could be.
Well, tell that to the Democratic Party for the past 40 years when they means test everything. But it is, we are lucky that as Lieberman tried to play kingmaker, Manchin is not as good at it. He's not as ideologically driven, in my view. It's more of a branding thing, and I don't think he's as shrewd as past kind of centrist Democrats. So he can be massaged in this area. It's also, he's not beholden to, like, say, the Chamber of Commerce.
Right. His donors are pretty...
are cold.
Exactly.
And you know, other nefarious industries, but not the ones that would be directly lobbying against checks like this. So that is the silver lining here.
So we have the $1,400 checks. The unemployment insurance extension goes through August 29th instead of the end of September, which was in the original plan floated by the Biden administration. Not quite sure on why that's the case. Still significantly longer, obviously, than the Republican plan. The minimum wage. Mm-hmm. Is included in that. Now, we'll put a pin in that for one moment because we want to talk more about that. Like I say, $1,400, that's in there. The unemployment insurance, not pegged, and this I think is very unfortunate, it is not pegged to unemployment numbers. It is just pegged to the end of August. as opposed to we'll stop payments when unemployment falls below a certain amount. That was a problem even in the HEROES Act. For whatever reason, Nancy Pelosi, steeped in Pete Peterson ideology, the notion that there is something intrinsically wrong with a deficit or a debt, the notion that PAYGO is a smart policy limitation on what you can spend.
That turned out well.
Yeah, exactly. This is this is sort of a hallmark of her disposition. And I suspect that's why we're not seeing automatic stabilizers. And it's ridiculous, of course, because now you're going to have to come back and do this again in reconciliation, unless the Democrats think it's in their best interest to go up against the Republicans from a political standpoint. I would just rather make sure that people get what they need. If you're thinking about politics, that's ultimately going to help. The next question is $15 minimum wage, which has been included in the Democratic bill. Joe Biden reportedly does want this to pass. He just doesn't think it can pass in the Senate. And the reason why...
But he does say that out loud, right? So he said, put it in. I don't think it's going to survive.
He, exactly.
If there...
Now,
okay. But, you know, you don't need to say that, but sure, publicly.
Might be helpful. The only argument I have, and this is a very generous one, but again, look, we're going to have a much better sense of who Joe Biden is in terms of, you know, what he wants and where he's being sincere or just mouthing things, you know, by the end of March when this stuff passes. It's also conceivable to me that if you're going to have a situation where you're anticipating the parliamentarian to make a certain ruling and you want to maintain your relationships with Senate Republicans, as Joe Biden clearly does want to, though not so much that he won't do reconciliation, saying that you'd be surprised if the parliamentarian ruled that the $15 minimum wage can be part of the bill, and then the parliamentarian does that, you can be like, well, it's not because I pushed him. I mean, that's a very generous perspective.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but it shouldn't in any way inhibit people pushing on this. And it certainly hasn't inhibited Bernie Sanders, who has been accruing all sorts of, and like he said the other day, I got a bunch of lawyers going over why the $15 minimum wage can be included in reconciliation. And just a reminder, reconciliation is a specific type of law, if you will, which is not subject to the filibuster. However, there are statutory constraints upon what can be passed through reconciliation. You only get one bite at the apple per fiscal year. By a fluke, Joe Biden's going to have three bites, three fiscal years in which he can do reconciliation. Anything in reconciliation, in a reconciliation bill, must directly affect the U.S. government's federal budget. And there was question, how does a $15 minimum wage affect the U.S. budget? There have been multiple reports and studies put out on this. One study showed that it would actually generate $60 billion a year for the U.S. government in increased taxes and in savings for welfare provisions, if you will, like food stamps and others, because it's going to lift a million people out of poverty.
Yeah.
And it's going to raise millions more out of thresholds for government assistance in other areas. And so there's been multiple studies. Well, the Congressional Budget Office came out with a study, and it wasn't very good news.
Except for the fact that it relates to the budget.
Exactly. The Congressional Budget Office is is run by a Republican who used to be a former member of the American Enterprise Institute. He was actually installed because the Republicans did not like the score. That's what they call it. That's like, how much will this affect the U.S. budget of repeal of the Affordable Care Act during the Trump years? And they didn't like the CBO score, so they replaced the entire CBO staff.
A lot of what is indicative of the Trump era is replacing normally bipartisan or non-political appointments with political actors. And now we're seeing the results because they are saying that 1.4 million jobs will be lost by the $15 minimum wage. A lot of that is because people who are wage earners will have to quit their second or their third job. So they'll just have to participate in an economy by working at one place as opposed to having to work at multiple places. That's what a lot of progressive economists are saying in regards to the CBO score.
So be clear. You can lose 1.4 million jobs, but that doesn't mean that 1.4 million people are going to lose work. It means that they're no longer going to have to work $15. I mean, this is pretty basic math. $15 is twice as much as 7 1/4. In fact, it's a little bit more. I don't want to get too technical. I don't want to be too mathy on you.
Too sabermetrics-y on me?
If you've got to work 12 hours a day, $7.25, and you have the ability to quit the job that you work in 4 hours a day at, that goes down as a job loss. The deficit that it's going to cost the U.S. government, apparently $6 billion a year. Now, there's a lot of people who have an issue with these numbers. However, and I think Bernie Sanders put it well. He said, this stuff doesn't seem accurate to me. However, because it does show, it doesn't matter if it adds to the U.S. budget. It doesn't matter which column it goes on, the liability or the asset. As long as you can add it to one of those columns, it impacts the U.S. budget. And there's an argument now that despite the fact that it's not necessarily a budget analysis or a score that you would love to promote, it impacts the budget and therefore can remain in the bill in the Senate. And
just do what the Republicans did when they got a disastrous CBO score and then replaced the head of the CBO. Just say the wage will pay for itself. The tax cuts will pay for themselves. The wage increases will pay for themselves.
This is from the CBO report itself. It says it would lift over 900,000 Americans out of poverty. 17 million people currently making below the minimum wage would be directly impacted, while another 10 million people whose wages are slightly above the minimum wage would also be affected. And by affected, that means their wages are going to go up.
Yeah.
It also, like you say, in addition to you're talking about the loss of jobs that are jobs that people don't want, right? Because they are they don't want to work 20 hours a day, 15 hours a day. And they won't have to because of the increase in their wages. It's also based on what has been considered a faulty study out of Seattle. But be that as it may, none of these things are significant enough. You're talking over the course of 10 years, too, now, incidentally. None of these things are considered significant enough that there would be arguments as to why you wouldn't have an increase in the minimum wage. At least among Democrats. And the real question is, will it be in the bill? And it's hard to look at this now and say the parliamentarian could actually rule that this doesn't impact the federal budget when the CBO says it does. You've got other reports that say it does. And remember, at the end of the day, the vice president can also overrule the interpretation of the parliamentarian. And that vice president is
Kamala Harris. So if Biden agrees to it, that's a big if. That could happen.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, a couple of quick stories that you should know before the end of the day. Back in a moment. Just going to race through these. We've just got a couple minutes left here. Just want to keep you informed that in Alabama, voting has begun for some Amazon workers who are looking to unionize. And this is a big deal. There are 6,000 workers that the National Labor Relations Board has determined are a bargaining unit. And more than 3,000 workers have signed cards authorizing a union to represent them. It is the RWDSU. This is the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. And the voting will take place over the course of the next month. So this is a big deal. This could be the first time that we see this type of unionization in the Deep South. That's a big deal.
It's massive.
And Alabama is a so-called right-to-work state. And some people say that's actually going to help the union push because nobody's going to be forced to pay even agency fees.
Oh, wow. So, I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a hacker broke into the water treatment system in the city of Oldsmar, Florida, in Pinellas County, and attempted to change the chemical composition that is dumped into the water in a way that would have made the water poisonous. And they broke in twice. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to have Nicole Perlroth on, who's written a book about this, just coincidentally, to talk about the dangers that we may face as a society from hackers doing stuff like this. Also, we should tell you that ICE reportedly, according to The Guardian, went rogue and deported 72 people to Haiti, including a baby and 21 other children. And they are apparently refusing to abide by new guidelines that was laid down by the Biden administration and its Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, and which is a 100-day moratorium on such deportations. And lastly, in Austin, Texas, defund the police. They have taken part of the police budget, and they are buying hotels to provide housing for the unhoused in Austin, Texas. That is a great rubber meets the road story of Definitely. What we saw over the course of the summer. Hopefully we see more of that. In the meantime, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. We'll be talking about impeachment and, of course, this hacking stuff. Until then, we will see you tomorrow. And for those of you sticking around, we will see you today.
Whoa. Hello.
There you go. Freaking everybody out. We're going to head into the fun half. Joining us in the fun half today will be Nomi Konst. And Nomi's show today, well, I'll let her tell us who's going to be on her show. But I just want to remind you, this program relies on your support. You can become a member at jointhemajorityreport.com. When you do, you support the free show. We give you the free show free of commercials. And you get extra content. It is your support that we rely on to keep this show going. And hopefully, as you know, we can get back into the studio in a more sort of like comprehensive way. We can start to grow stuff and all sorts of post-COVID-y, or at least like somewhat post-COVID-y plans.
Post-COVID-y.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying.
That's the name of my band.
Is that true?
No. I don't know.
Do you play an instrument?
That'd be a good band name, Post-COVID.
Post-COVID would be a great band.
It's just a little joke I do sometimes when I hear a phrase that I find funny.
Well, you're not the first person to say that, but I mean, you don't play an instrument?
I dabble in, and I know how to poorly play the piano and the guitar. And,
really?
Yeah. And I
maybe you should jam with Brendan. Brendan
also
has a band. You play clarinet?
I did in like middle school.
That's not hard for me to imagine.
Wait, are we counting middle school, really? If that's the case, I play the flute and the saxophone.
Yeah, I'm a tenor saxophone player.
There we go. Well, I mean, but I was decent at clarinet.
I played Dust in the Wind as a 7-year-old to my parents that I learned on the guitar, and they both fell asleep, and that was the last time I played the guitar. So.
Yeah, this was a part of like a desperate effort for my parents to just try to get me to like really have a passion about anything other than like... You
sports
know,
and politics.
Sports and, well, sports not even at that time, but politics and then, like, Gilmore Girls.
I understand.
Okay.
That's basically the story of my, that's my daughter's like that as well. I'm trying to get her. It's pretty limited. just like Law and Order. And don't forget, justcoffee.coop. This is a great, great outfit that I am very, very, very proud to support, and that they sponsor the show. They've been with us really since the Break Room Live days. Just Coffee, it's a co-op. I went out and visited them in Madison, Wisconsin. I guess it was a couple of years ago now. And
Glenn Greenwald provided free publicity for them today.
Glenn Greenwald was promoting them. That was really great to see.
So kind of him.
They're a co-op. And the thing that's awesome about this that I didn't understand until I went and spoke to them in their roasting is that they have buyers, they're sellers that they buy from. Farms that are in Central America. I think they get some from Africa sometimes. And they were telling me that, like, you know, what happens is sometimes these farms, they have a bad season, right? There's a drought, there's a hurricane, whatever it is. And most coffee companies will just say, okay, we're going to go get coffee from somewhere else. They will not do that. They will figure out how to make it work, even with like crops that aren't as good or coffee that like they think may not be as at the same quality as it was the year before. They will figure it out with them, and they'll add in other beans if they have to and make they protect their suppliers. And so they're a great company. And they gave out a bunch of free coffee to the folks in Madison back in 2011, I guess it was. Wow. And so they're a great movement company, justcoffee.coop. And you get a coupon code, Majority, you get 10% off. Or you can buy the Majority Report blend. Nomi, who's on your show today?
Hello. We have a great show today. We have the one and only Thomas Hartmann. Tom Hartmann is on the show.
Oh.
Childhood excitement here. Not childhood, like college age. It would be Emma's childhood, though, back in the Gilmore Girl era when I was a full functioning adult, making me feel my age.
I was working with Tom at that time.
There you go. See, I think I know who you were working with, too. So Tom Hartman's at the top, and then later we have Judd Legum and Akilah Lacey. So excited about that. Kayla Lacey. Got to say her name right. Akilah Lacey. I'm turning into Sam.
Really? I give everybody that disease.
Now I have it. But like really great, you know, guests you have on these days, Nomi.
Thank you. It's the team. Teamwork makes the dream work.
3 p.m. Can people check it out? And where can they find your show?
They can find it at youtube.com/TheNomiKeyShow, as well as twitch.tv/the_NomiKey/ No, wait, underscores. Whatever the Twitch thing. Oh, the way that they do Twitch, okay?
The we'll Nomi rate Key it. Show. We'll rate it. Just be in the Majority Report chat, and then we'll send you over there. So,
thank you for the raids.
And don't forget, folks, you can check out The Antifada. They're streaming on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheAntifada, or you can find them on Patreon, patreon.com/TheAntifada. Matt, what is happening in the Matt Lekian media universe?
Yeah, speaking of great guests, on Left Reckoning on Thursday night, we'll have Grace Blakely, author of The Corona Crash and Stolen, to talk about financialization and the COVID economy. Also, Haiti's General Strike, Ecuador, and the Bessemer, Alabama Amazon unionization process ongoing. So that'll be Thursday night at 8 at the Left Reckoning YouTube page.
Don't you mean Grace Blakely?
Blakely. Easy. Easy.
Oh, flex on them.
Right. We will see you in the fun half. Left is best. Jamie and I may have a disagreement.
Yeah, you can't just say whatever you want about people just because you're rich.
I have an absolute right to mock them on YouTube.
He's up there buggy whipping like he's the boss.
I am not your employer.
You know, I'm tired of the negativity.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to upset you. You're nervous, you're a little bit upset, you're riled up.
Yeah, maybe you should rethink your defense of that, you fucking idiots.
We're just going to get rid of you.
All right.
But dude. You want to smoke this joint?
Yes.
Do you feel like you are a dinosaur?
This is
good shit.
Exactly. I'm happy now.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win-win.
Oh, hell yeah.
Now listen to me. 2, 3, 4, 5 times. 847-906-501-457. 2, 38, 56, 27. 1/2, 5/8, 3.9 billion.
Wow.
He's the ultimate math nerd,
don't you see?
Why don't you get a real job instead of spewing vitriol and hatred, you left-wing Limbaugh?
Everybody's taking their dumb juice today.
Come on, Sammy.
Dance, dance, dance.
Rand Paul.
I had my first post-coital scene with a woman. I'm hoping to add more moves to my repertoire. All I have is the dip and the swirl.
Fine, we can double dip.
Yes, this is a perfect moment.
No.
Wait, what?
You make under $1 million a year. You're scum. You're nothing.
Excuse me? Fuck you, you fucking liberal elite. I think you belong in jail.
Thank you for saying that, Sam. You're a horrible, despicable person.
All right, gonna take a quick break. I want to take a moment to talk to some of the libertarians out there. Take whatever vehicle you want to drive to the library. What you're talking about is jibber jabber.
Classic. I'm feeling more chill already.
Good.
Donald Trump can kiss all of our asses.
Hey, Sam. Hey, Andy. You guys ready to do some evil?
Hitler was such an idiot.
You think I might be a Nazi?
Agree.
No.
Death to America.
You.
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's weird. No way! Unbelievable. This guy's got a really good hook.
Throw our hands up.
Ooh.
Wow.
But Sam, I gotta get off.
No worries. Let's I wanna just flesh this out a little bit. I mean, look, it's a free speech issue. If you don't like me.
Hey, shut up!
Thank you for calling into the Majority Report. Sam will be with you shortly.